We'll call the meeting to order and note the presence of a quorum. I'd like to the minutes to reflect the presence of a quorum. The second item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes of the members meeting held on August 19th. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on August 19th, 2024.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Ma'am, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. We now move to the president's report, and I call on our president, Eric Enderman.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Always like to begin by thanking the HDC board members for joining us today. But I'd also like to extend very warm birthday wishes to our board member, Harry Gould, and thank him for his, I had many years, I switched to the decades. He just told me 48 years of service to HDC. Thank you for 48 years of service to HDC and also wishing you a very happy birthday. Today's agenda will start with presentations from our governance and audit committees, after which Susanna Lipsight, our general counsel, will present for your approval the appointment of 2 assistant secretaries of the corporation. These appointments will help to strengthen the vital work of our legal team that is essential to ensuring the successful advancement of HDC's mission. Next, you will then hear from Senior Vice President Lauren Connors, who will present for your approval the issuance of bonds and the approval of mortgage loans that will support the financing of various affordable housing and public housing developments throughout the city. This presentation includes a proposal to finance the acquisition and substantial rehabilitation of the Linden Plaza Mitchell Lama development in Brooklyn. With your approval, this preservation effort will significantly improve living conditions for more than 1,500 households, reflecting the city's commitment to providing crucial repairs and securing affordability for New Yorkers residing in our aging Mitchell Lama developments. And while today's agenda is brief, the underlying work addresses some of our city's most complex housing challenges. I want to thank the board along with the entire HDC team, as always, and our partners as we continue our work to create a more affordable city where New Yorkers can thrive. And with that, I turn it back over to our chair, Commissioner Carrion.
Thank you, President. I also want to just echo happy birthday, Harry, and thanks for all those years of service to the city of New York. We now turn to a report from the Governance Committee. And for that purpose, I call on the birthday boy, Harry.
Thank you. The Governance Committee met prior to this meeting, at which time senior staff raises of 3% were discussed and approved. The actions of the Governance Committee with respect to the senior staff raises must be ratified by the HDC board.
Thank you very much. I'll now entertain a motion to ratify the senior staff raises that were just approved by the Governance Committee.
So moved.
Thank you, sir.
Is this on the senior staff or the entire organization?
It's the senior staff. We talked to Tara, but if you need.
No, I thought she mentioned to me it's the staff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second.
So Mr. Jiha seconds it along with saying thank you. I'm just kidding.
You missed the motion.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Thank you very much. It's a well-deserved. We now turn to the report of the Audit Committee, and for that purpose, again, I will turn to Harry Gould.
Thank you. The Audit Committee met prior to this meeting, at which time the members reviewed the 2024 second and third quarter financials, which parenthetically were very good, and other investment debt credit and internal audit reports. The members also approved the second half of the fiscal year 2024 internal audit plan, as well as the audit committee charter. In addition, Ernst & Young presented their audit plan for the upcoming audit of the corporation's annual financial statements.
Thank you, Mr. Gould. This requires no action from the board at this point. And now we will move to item number 6 on the agenda, which is the appointment of assistant secretaries. And for that purpose, I call on Susanna Lipsight.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the appointment of Jennifer Beamish as Assistant Secretary of the Corporation and Ankita Vaid as Assistant Secretary of the Corporation. Ms. Beamish joined the corporation in 2017 as an Assistant General Counsel and was promoted to Associate General Counsel in 2020. Ms. Beamish holds a Bachelor of Arts in History from McGill University, Canada, and a Master of Science in International History from the London School of Economics and Political Science. She received a JD from Northwestern University School of Law. Ms. Vaid joined the corporation in 2022 as an Assistant General Counsel. Ms. Vaid holds a Bachelor of Laws from the University of Liverpool, England, and received a JD from the University of Buffalo School of Law. And just to add, as Eric mentioned in his discussion in the beginning, this helps the corporation in terms of closings, you know, for incumbency certificates and just the process of the legal work we do. We usually have 2 to 3 assistant secretaries at any time. And so now we currently only have 1. And so we're doing 2 at once.
Thank you, Susanna. I'll entertain a motion to appoint Jennifer Beamish as Assistant Secretary and Ankita Vaid as Assistant Secretary.
So moved.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a second? Thank you, sir. All in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act, and for the purposes of discussing the next item on our agenda, we will now commence the meeting of HDC's Finance Committee, which moves us to item number 7 on the agenda, which is the approval of an authorizing resolution relating to the multifamily housing revenue bonds 2024 Series D and E and approval of mortgage loans. For this purpose, I will call on Lauren Connors.
Yep.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to recommend the members approve the issuance of the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds 2024 Series D and 2024 Series E bonds at an amount not expected to exceed $425,890,000. The bonds, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves and available funds of the open resolution, are expected to be used to finance the construction, acquisition, rehabilitation, and/or permanent financing of certain projects and other activities described in your memorandum. Interest on the 2024 Series D bonds is expected to be exempt from federal and New York State and local income tax, and such bonds will qualify as tax-exempt private activity bonds with a combination of an allocation of new private activity bond volume cap and an allocation of recycled volume cap. Interest on the 2024 Series E bonds is not expected to be exempt from federal income tax, but is expected to be exempt from New York State and local income tax. The anticipated interest rates, maturity dates, and other relevant terms of the bonds are described in your memorandum. An authorizing resolution will authorize the 364th and 365th supplemental resolutions. It is anticipated that all or a portion of the proceeds of the 2024 Series D bonds, together with available monies of the open resolution and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance all or a portion of the mortgage loan that will fund the acquisition and rehabilitation of the Linden Plaza development in Brooklyn. Linden Plaza is a Mitchell-Lama development that was constructed in 1972. In 2008, members approved the issuance of the multifamily rental housing revenue bonds, 2008 Series A, with long-term permanent credit enhancement from Freddie Mac. The project has struggled in recent years with deteriorating conditions and tenant arrears. And in 2023, Freddie Mac declared an event of default for the owner's failure to make certain payments. The corporation has been working closely with our partners in the city to stabilize the asset. If approved by the members, the corporation expects to finance the acquisition and substantial tenant in place rehabilitation of its 1,527 units. It's anticipated that the project financing will initially be funded with available monies of the open resolution and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves. The corporation expects to issue tranches of tax-exempt 2024 Series D bonds with allocations of recycled volume cap as it becomes available to reimburse the corporation for amounts previously advanced. Freddie Mac will provide credit enhancement on the new permanent loan under a 90-10 risk share structure. It is also anticipated that a portion of the 2024 Series D bonds will be used to finance or reimburse the corporation for amounts previously advanced from its unrestricted reserves to finance all or a portion of one subordinate loan for the Coney Island Phase 2 development. The subordinate loan for Coney Island Phase 2 was previously approved by the members. It's also anticipated that a portion of proceeds of the 2024 Series D bonds, together with available monies of the open resolution and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance or reimburse the corporation for amounts previously advanced from its unrestricted reserves to finance all or a portion of the Sun loans for four NYCHA developments. PAC Sacklern, PAC West Brighton, PAC Boston Secor, Boston Road Plaza, Middletown Plaza, and PAC Frederick Samuel Apartments. The PAC developments either have received or are expected to receive financing from the proceeds of tax exempt and or taxable bonds to be issued under the Housing Impact Bond Resolution as approved by the members at previous meetings held in 2024. It is anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2024 Series E bonds is expected to be deposited in the bond proceeds account and used for future lending. Such future lending that has not been previously approved by the members will be presented for approval to the members before the making of such loan. It is anticipated that an additional portion of the proceeds of the 2024 Series E bonds will be transferred to the corporation, and in connection therewith, 9 permanent mortgage loans previously pledged to the corporation's multifamily secured mortgage revenue bonds bond resolution will be pledged to the open resolution. Known as a mini resolution, it was originally adopted by the members of the corporation in 2005. The corporation expects to retire the remaining mini open resolution bonds and terminate the mini open resolution using excess revenues and reserves held thereunder. The proceeds released to the corporation will allow for replenishment of the corporation's reserves, which can then be relent to new developments in furtherance of the corporation's commitment to the mayor's housing plan. For more information on these developments, please see attachments 1 through 7 in your memorandum. The members are being asked to authorize the issuance of the bonds pursuant to multimodal supplemental resolutions. Accordingly, all or a portion of the bonds may be converted to other interest rate modes provided for in the supplemental resolutions, such as fixed rate or variable rate. It is anticipated that all or a portion of the 2024 Series D bonds will initially be issued as tax-exempt fixed-rate bonds to finance the Sun loans for the PAC developments and 2024 Series D mortgage loans. It is anticipated that all or a portion of the 2024 Series E bonds will initially be issued as variable-rate SOFR index bonds expected to be purchased by the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York. If market conditions change and staff determines that it is not cost-effective to issue all or a portion of the 2024 Series E bonds as variable rate SOFR index bonds, the corporation may choose to issue all or a portion of the 2024 Series E bonds as variable rate demand bonds. In order to manage interest rate risk associated with the variable rate portion of the bonds, the corporation is working with Mahanti Garjulo LLC, its hedge advisor, and expects to enter into one or more interest rate hedging instruments. More details on the developments and the bond underwriters, risks, fees, and credit ratings associated with the bonds are outlined in your memorandum. Are there any questions?
Yes, sir.
Let me do these one by one. Linden. I am not going to challenge the major work you've done. I note that the rehab work is proposed to be done with tenants in place. And I note as well that we are not the people who are running it, but we are lending the money. And so what I'd like to know is what steps have been taken so that the nightmare that those tenants are about to undergo is minimized, supervised, and that we know what's going on.
Do you want to walk through the process? It's a very prescribed and rigorous process. And I will just start out by saying that there's a whole relocation plan in terms of moving people around during work. But other than that, I'm going to pass it over to.
So let me just ask you to focus as well on to what extent, if any, do you know that there has been active tenant participation in both the formulation and execution of those plans.
So, as is typical of any preservation work that we do when there is in place relocation, there are approved relocation plans that both our partners at HPD and HDC review. We work with the new team that is coming in. They formulate a plan as to the timing of the rehab, how tenants are being moved, units are being kept, certain units are being kept vacant, and as units are also renovated, some of those are kept vacant in order to be able to have tenants move into refurbished units. So it is all part of a plan that scopes out how you're renovating units, when units come vacant, and then you plan how you can move residents from one unit to the other. In some instances, there's also community facility or just community space within the development. And what happens is there are it's a facility that's provided for some of the work. Some of the work is planned to just be day work. You know, maybe you're shutting down water or shutting down electricity for a few hours during the day, and you can have the facility open for residents to just stay in there. And there's electricity, internet, just different kinds of, just facilities that they have in there. So that's all part of the relocation plan.
If I may follow up on that,
Mr. Yes, sir.
You say approved plan, approved by whom and prepared by whom?
So it's prepared between the team that is doing the work and also the borrower. They submit the plan to all of the financing teams. So HPD looks at it, HDC, our engineers and our development people look at it. And then if there's another lender in another lending party, they also look at it.
And then there's also, just to add, a series of meetings that happens with the tenant association, where all of this is explained to them. They can ask questions. And it's an ongoing process. So
that, Adolfo, is the part I wanted to focus on. Mm-hmm. To the extent possible, if you can maximize that tenant knowledge, the tenant participation, that will help in the long run.
Yeah, this, you know, you would sometimes think that new construction is more complicated, but this work is some of the most complicated and at every level. And it is a team that is experienced with it. It's the team that is doing the work at Edenwald.
Who's the team?
It's Camber.
Camber.
Well,
yeah, they've done a number of these very successfully.
And that process is already ongoing with the tenants. They've been on site for the past few months, and there is a lot of communication between the teams and the tenants.
He's already focused on it.
Oh,
and if he is, I'm comfortable.
I'm going to tell you this, Chuck. I have walked the buildings and the grounds. I've seen everything there. I've met with the tenants.
You comfortable?
The elected officials are very close to this and worried about it. So we've had to do a lot of handholding. There was fear because of the many years of mistrust between owner management and tenants. The confidence has been rebuilt with this new player. We're going to watch it like a hawk. So
good. Very confident. And I would hope you would do the same.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Paying a lot of time and attention. So ongoing.
Okay. Regarding, just before you go on, Charles, on the, I'm very familiar with Lyndon from my high school and long time. I know the place. My assumption is now, I haven't been there in dozens of years, but my assumption is there are a lot of seniors. So yes. I'm assuming that the tenant plan is takes into account the special needs that tenants will have in relocation, which may be different than much younger families.
And moreover, we I'm speaking now for HPD. We published new design guidelines for preservation that require the combination and consideration of the needs of older adults as they are now. Referred to, not seniors anymore.
Oh, apparently. Wow. I mean,
that's mature.
That's the new thing, you know. The commissioner of aging of New York insists we call them older adults, myself included.
Quick question for you, Eric. Is this the first time we depositing? I'm talking about the Series E bond proceeds that we're going to deposit them into some. We'll see that come up. This is the first time we're doing this.
No, those are taxable bonds, and we are able to issue taxable bonds. And
hold them in the bond proceeds account until we're ready to use them. We'll bring loans to you. But we've done that before.
You've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything unique or unusual about the financing per se here. It's just the scale of it is pretty intense.
It's just large.
If I may add, just so sometimes we have liquidity needs where there have been some preservation projects that have proved, and with the nature of the uncertain nature of when real estate closes, we keep funds on hand for liquidity, that we can close projects when they're ready to go, because they may be late closing. So they may have already been approved by the board, but we need to close them when they're ready.
I'm assuming you're bringing this project back to the board whenever you go.
Yes.
May I now turn to attachment 3 and 4?
Yes, sir.
Those are the packets. And they are, as I understand it, involving New York City Housing Authority. Am I correct?
That's right.
Your favorite housing authority in the country.
Believe it or not, I was once offered a position. Thank you. I'm not smart enough not to take it. I have 3 questions here. This is, at least 2 are troublesome to me. Sackwood and Frederick Samuel. Who holds the Sun mortgage that's referred to in the footnote?
HDC does.
We do. So that you will still be the most senior in terms of issues, should there be a foreclosure?
That financing is, yep. That's a senior.
How much are we talking about in terms of the deficit potential?
What do you mean by deficit?
Well, they say that Sun loan default can only occur on a failure to pay the amount due under the Sun note for each year.
So it is, I don't know what that flow on a year-by-year basis is, but we can get you that. But really what happens on those Sun loans is they're sized to mimic the taxes that would be paid if there weren't a pilot in place. So it's basically that first position that is using an equivalent amount of cash flow that would have paid those taxes. So that's why it's in such a secure first position.
And have there been any defaults or issues at all in the past?
Nope.
Have there been any issues at all economically under this?
No, we haven't. I say this because our OMB colleagues know this well. There were some challenges at times around the round 8 underwriting that we've since have worked through, but you know, that there were deals that happened just prior to the pandemic that experienced a lot of cost challenge on that. But we have been able to work through most, if not all of that. So I would say no. And particularly as relates to the Sun loan, we feel we worked through some issues on a Manhattan deal that held up very, very well. It felt like the economics.
And the Bronx deal?
What's that?
And the Bronx deals?
Every deal, the deals have been solid so far.
Okay.
We have no reason to be concerned about the financing that we've done on any of these.
To what extent do you inspect to maintain, this is a familiar question, to what extent does HDC and hopefully HPD inspect these premises to make sure that things are being done as they should be done?
We have a regular, I don't know if other folks want to comment on this, Ruth and others, but we at Brian, we have a regular set of inspections that happen. We are actively involved in the planning cost review and the scoping as we go into these developments. And then, you know, we have a team that will actively monitor it. And we've been spending a lot of time and investment. In fact, when you look at what we've done on our headcount, the vast majority of the places where we've spent more money and made investments are on the asset management side of it, to both monitor the financial performance that you first asked about, but secondarily the physical performance, so that we're not surprised. We've kind of reoriented our asset management team from a world in which you react to things that are coming at you to one in which we actively want to understand what's coming at us well before we have to manage it. So we feel well prepared, but I have heard your comments and we've taken them to heart. We're growing the team commensurate with the volume of activity that is coming at us. We expect that volume of activity to grow, and we will grow commensurate with that. And we feel like we're well positioned to be able to do that.
I have total confidence that you will do that. The last question is the following. To what extent do you receive copies of, analyze, and maintain copies of violations or inspection reports emanating from the Department of Buildings, if they do their inspections, and HPD?
We have access to that. We have access to all that. We do have a team. I don't know if Brian or others want to comment, but we have a team of folks. And I'll say a little more about this than I planned on saying. We have set up in HDC a team of data governance and analytics folks who are designed to support some of the other areas, some of which is specifically aimed at being able to quickly get at, organize, and report out on the kinds of data sets that you're talking about. And a major piece of it is related to that asset management support.
So let me make a suggestion to you, which may or may not have merit from your standpoint. I'm less concerned about the HDC inspectional reports than I am on with respect to the building department ones. Yep. It seems to me that there is value not just in having access to them, but requiring that a copy of them be furnished to you. Why? Just to make damn sure that for a change they do what they're supposed to.
Yeah. There's a lot of open public data that you can get at those things. There's a lot of good leading indicators. You can look at water arrears. You can look at other challenges.
You have limited resources. You are not charged with the duty to supervise the quality of the inspection. But what I would like to see you have in hand, or the opportunity literally to inspect at any moment, the current status of a given structure at a given time. And for that reason, it seems to me more with buildings than with HDC that they don't have the same problems. With buildings, getting to you, the buildings department violation reports, inspection reports, and elevators are particularly a concern.
Yep. We have a whole set of asset management standards and a new program that we're working and have defined as called goals. I think others could speak about it if we want to. But your point is exactly right. And I make this too. I think sometimes we did this a little bit with Sandy. Sandy was like a 60-some billion-dollar problem that we kind of approached as like a part-time job for the first couple minutes. And then New York gets its arms around it. What we're talking about at NYCHA, we have to all remember, is tens of billions of dollars leading to hundreds of billions of dollars on a rolling basis. So it doesn't make sense for any of us to be like penny wise and pound foolish on that. So that goes exactly to your point. We are gearing up to be able to manage that. And if we felt like at any point we weren't fully able to do it, we would be in conversations with our board chair and you all and with OMB and our DOF colleagues. You can see we have the highest level of housing and finance folks in the city who clearly understand the scale of this. But so I'd say all that not to minimize your comment, but to actually support your comment. We're pretty aware.
Let me make my point in specifics, if you don't mind, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Some years ago, this body approved a loan of $418, as I recall it, million dollars to NYCHA for work to be done on Marble Hill and other facilities. And the work was highly specific in nature. It was the gutters, the drain pipes, and the elevators. Happens to be in my community board district, and the distinguished chair knows that I pay attention. So as a former buildings commissioner, I inspected that place together with people who know what they're doing. Not one cent was spent on the damn gutters. Not one cent was spent on the elevator. I don't know where it went. I have no idea. I fault nobody for it at the moment other than NYCHA. And my point to you is, based off that experience, I think it is worthwhile for you to take a look to make sure you're both covered in this area. Inspectors have other sites to visit for buildings, and they don't necessarily like to go or are permitted to go to city-owned properties. And if they don't go there, they don't see. And if they don't see, you don't know.
Thank you, Mr. Mergler. Point well taken. Yes.
I think we, Mark. Thank you. I think we've talked about this before, but can you talk a little bit about the scope of work at the PACT Sackborn and PACT West Brighton? Because it's a high price per unit altogether for the renovation work. So,
Brian, did you want to?
Yeah, the renovation work for Sackborn does involve some general common area and apartment upgrades for the next 20 years identified in the comprehensive needs assessment that NYCHA has done for every development. It addresses those as well as grounds upgrades for which represent some amenities, as well as some energy efficiency upgrades. That's the baseline scope for all these PAC projects that have to meet the HUD requirement.
They're unit level renovations as well.
It includes unit level renovations. It also includes compliance with ADA requirements for accessibility. But generally it includes, it could range from everything from electrical plumbing upgrades to bathroom fixtures, kitchen finishes, as well as the accessibility requirements. And the common areas generally includes major building systems, common area finishes, security across the buildings.
So heating plant roofs. Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. May I just ask a follow-up?
Yes.
To what extent, if any, is any of the structural work involving roofs, gutters, elevators?
It will definitely include all those aspects if identified in the comprehensive needs assessment. There are some buildings where they might, NYCHA may have done a recent renovation involving a heating plant or a roof that is fairly recent. If it's not in the comprehensive needs assessment, it will not be done. But as part of the PAC program, all these projects, every a minimum 15 years, a new comprehensive needs assessment inspection has to be done to identify if a roof, boiler, or any other component is at the end of its useful life. And so the project has to reserve for and implement the work as part of the PAC transaction.
Thank
you. So even if the work is not addressed now, it is intended to be reserved for and funded for capital repairs at a future time.
Perfect. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? If not, Susanna?
Sure. Thank you. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the open resolution. The issuance of the bonds, the pledge to the open resolution of any mortgage loans or assets of the corporation, the terms of any liquidity facility, and other activities listed therein and in the memo before you. The members are requested to approve the making of certain mortgage loans for the Linden Plaza development in an amount not to exceed $207,295,000. From proceeds of the 2024 Series D bonds and or available funds of the open resolution or the corporation's unrestricted reserves, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to carry out such financing. The members are requested to authorize the financing of 4 Sun loans for the PAC developments in an amount not expected to exceed $129,205,000 from the proceeds of the 2024 Series D bonds and or available funds of the open resolution or the corporation's unrestricted reserves, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to carry out such financings. Finally, the members are requested to approve the execution of 1 or more interest rate hedging instruments in a combined notional amount not expected to exceed $77,390,000 and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to enter into said hedging instruments.
Thank you, Susanna. I will now entertain a motion to approve the authorizing resolution relating to the multifamily housing revenue bonds 2024 Series D and E, and approval of mortgage loans and other actions by the members described in the memo before you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you, sir. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing no opposition, and taking into consideration all the commentary and good questions, the motion carries. At this time, I would like to close the meeting of the Finance Committee.
Before you close, this is just a comment regarding the Philomas. My assumption is that many more are online or should be. for funding. And the is the city developing a program specifically for Mitchell Arms? It feels like the complexity of the transactions, although most real estate transactions are complex, this is even more so for any number of reasons.
I'm so glad you asked.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing a portfolio. Our share as a city is 94 developments, 47,000 units. The state mirrors that with just about the same size portfolio. They're all facing arrears, high costs, insurance is out of control. Many of them can't meet their obligations. And so we're doing a full court press. I know we have some proposals that we're discussing with OMB. We're talking to the state legislature for some legislative action and relief. We're trying to be as creative as possible with how much investment and we can make. You know, we use rental assistance in all of these deals, but it is an important crossroads for this portfolio. So the short answer is yes, and then there's a long complicated answer about our working alongside HDC and our team. It's a very intensive work. We have a proposal that is almost fully cooked at this point. So we're starting to walk it around with the leadership of the city. And stay tuned, because I think very soon we're going to go public with this conversation and advocate for change, important changes.
Adolfo, if I may ask the following.
Yes.
And if there's any problem in dealing with it, don't hesitate to say so.
Mm-hmm.
How far back were the first flags raised on those arrears?
I'm not entirely sure. You know, I think the pandemic was a real hit to all of them, but it was also a real hit to all rental real estate in New York City.
The follow-up, if I may, to what extent do you get the kind of hard information that says to you, hey, something's coming down the pike here, I need to take a look at it? And to what extent are you provided with the arms and the legs, the people, the talent, to do the job of analyzing that, say, that's a flag, that is not a flag?
Yeah. You know, I almost want to do a special session on this, or sort of an off the record, but I will tell you this. One of the most unpopular things that the commissioner of HPD has to do, because of the way the Mitchell Llama program was structured, and remember, it's rentals and cooperatives, we, HPD commissioners, whoever's sitting in that seat, has to sign a commissioner's rent order or rent increase order. Many of the developments do not keep pace with the costs of running the development. In some cases, we've seen no rent increases or no common cost, whatever it's called, HOA increases for 8-10 years, and the rest of the normal market is moving for, you know, along at the pace of the cost of doing business.
Exactly where I'm going.
Yes. So there's a structural side to this that we are addressing that will be part of the proposal.
So let me tell you, again, back down to the grassroots of the community.
Yep.
We hear those things very early in the game in neighborhoods all over town, affluent and not affluent. And the question always becomes, how'd you get there? And the response is, it was him. Government knew all about it.
It's an easy answer about how we got there. It's convenient finger pointing.
Yeah. Correct.
So we look forward to discussing this a little further, but it was a really good question that you raised. There is a plan afoot. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to close the meeting of the Finance Committee and call for a motion of the HDC Board to ratify those items just approved by the Finance Committee. I'll entertain a motion. Thank you, Mr. Mertler.
Second.
You. All in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. At this point, it's my favorite part of the agenda. Other business. Yes, sir.
I mentioned it to the clerk earlier. In the early days of HDC, and I'm assuming she was representing Goldman as opposed to being a board member, but she attended every board meeting. Ann Kaplan passed away.
Sorry.
She was a big fan of HDC's. Was one of the first four female partners at Goldman and wound up running the municipal department. So it might be appropriate to just acknowledge your support.
Thank you.
I suggest that we adjourn this meeting in memory of and in tribute to Ms. Kaplan.
I like that. So in the memory of Anna Kaplan and Ann Kaplan, with immense gratitude for her dedication and support of HDC and the work of and mission of this organization. Hearing no other business other than that very important business, I would like to ask the members to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Secondary.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing opposition, the motion carries.